views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Imagine floating on a cloud, relaxing so deeply your body aches dissipate, your stress levels decrease, and you feel a renewed sense of vitality. It's not a daydream, it's reality, and it's right here in Reading at Treasure of the Ancient Dragons. They have the only float therapy pod in Reading.
Experience the benefits of float therapy in Reading's only float therapy pod inside Treasure of the Ancient Dragons.
Treasure of the Ancient Dragons, behind Orchard Nutrition in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Call 605-0770.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Kara Kittrick. Kara, do you have some news for us this evening?
Yes, I do. So it was a light week for the paranormal this last week, but a fairly interesting week in the world of political conspiracy. So here's the rundown. A report came out last week showing that after President Trump fired James Comey, the FBI may have started to investigate whether Trump might be a Russian asset. A separate report came out around the same time showing that Trump had gone to, quote, extraordinary lengths to prevent any official record of his personal conversations with Vladimir Putin from existing. Asked about these reports on Fox News, Trump reacted, as a person would, with anger, saying it was, quote, the most insulting question he had ever been asked. This comes only a few weeks after conclusive evidence emerged that Paul Manafort had shared polling data with Russian oligarchs for reasons unknown, although it is not yet clear if Trump knew anything about this. A new study, Mission-Driven Research for Stratospheric Aerosol Geoengineering, published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, my story gets better here, this week lays out guidelines for responsible uses of geoengineering. We actually need to do the research to understand what the impacts are and understand the uncertainties, said lead author Douglas McMartin. Given that the climate is set to exceed 1.5 degrees of warming by 2040, reach 3 degrees of warming by 2100, and potentially wipe out the human race within two or three centuries or so, the author calls efforts to understand geoengineering, quote, urgent. Multiple reports of a Bigfoot with glowing red eyes in Mockville, North Carolina, have been explained. Turns out it wasn't a creepy mass hallucination or an actual eldritch wood primate, but a statue of Bigfoot with red glass eyes that can appear to glow under light, certain light conditions. Many cryptids have been reported with glowing red eyes, Mothman in particular, but this sighting, which seemed so interesting, appears to be a rather literal case of art imitating life. Or sculpture, anyway. The county has advised people to stop calling animal control with hysterical Sasquatch reports. They know. And finally, songwriter Bebe Rexha, which I don't know how to say because I've never heard of her, has denied being a part of the Illuminati after being hounded by fans who believe she is, for reasons that are unclear. This puts her in the company of many other popular songwriters and entertainers who have denied being part of the Illuminati, including Beyoncé, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, and other similar individuals. I personally do not deny being part of the Illuminati, but no one appears to be speculating about whether I'm part of a Bavarian secret society that controls pop culture, government, and the economy, which frankly makes me feel kind of unwanted. Like, what, no one thinks I'm good enough to be in the Illuminati? Leading experts have called that hurtful. Back to you, Chauncey.
So the idea to me, let's take these backwards. The idea to me that the Illuminati is a thing and it's populated by Hollywood elite, I find to be a little ridiculous. You know, if they were populated by even the liberal or conservative Richies, you know, I find that much more believable.
Sure.
But
yeah.
that Will Smith is out there manipulating our lives, I find to be, you know.
Right. 'Cause
is he trying to welcome us all to Miami? You know, I don't know.
Because, like, think so. In terms of liberals that are rich, Hollywood elites really aren't even up there.
Right.
Like, you'd be looking at Silicon Valley guys, which right. I yeah. think probably do conspire on a lot of stuff, but that's not called a conspiracy theory. That's just called, like, Amazon and laws.
Non-Illuminati just don't understand.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, what was the one before that? The Bigfoot? All right, Bigfoot, yeah, I get that. You know, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the art installations. I was at my wife's grandfather's funeral, and, you know, they have this sort of, like, rustic land we're out on where her uncle lives, and he has all these sort of, like, welded pieces of art, which is cool, and I'm walking around checking them all, and then I got duped into one. I see one out in the pasture, and I'm, oh, man, I should go check that one out. And I get out there, and it's like a sprinkler system, and I'm just like, I just walked all the way out here to check out a sprinkler system. So,
well,
but I
know,
appreciate the art
installation. It's the journey, not the destination.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I appreciate it. What was before that?
Geoengineering.
Oh, yeah. That one is going to raise a lot of eyebrows in the conspiracy world because
of, like, chemtrail stuff.
And it's admittance that we already know somewhat how to do it.
Oh, yeah, we absolutely do.
And if we know
how
to do it, there's only one way to know how to do it, and that's by having already done it.
Well, not really, but...
I think so. Yeah, these scientists aren't just all of... I mean, when it comes to astrophysics, sure, they're answering some questions with math because they have no other choice. But all Earth-based sciences try that stuff out first before they even start talking about it. It's a thing, you know?
I mean, you can try stuff out in, like, laboratory conditions. Like,
I don't know.
You can know that aerosolized sulfur does certain things to air without, you know, and you could speculate, well, maybe it would do this or that or this other thing if you released it, you know, globally.
I don't know. I do think that there is weather modification going on. I don't think that it's on the level where people are saying that we're being oppressed or that,
right, you know, look
you know,
at that cloud that was clearly
like
done
that.
By
right.
You know.
I don't, but I mean, weather modification, I do believe is going
on.
No,
I mean, I don't necessarily agree, but like that's not unreasonable,
right?
Because people are already talking about it, like they're saying, you know, we should be doing this,
right?
Like, so even if we're not doing it, we might be, and. We probably will be
right.
at some point.
And then the last one, we can't help but to touch it. It's been a topic around my house.
Yeah, you know.
Been a topic around everybody's house, and that is, was Trump not only colluding with the Russians, but was Trump an agent of the Russians is really what they're trying to put out there, you know?
Right, and this is kind of, I mean, it's been suggested a lot, obviously, but like by pundits. This is the first time that we heard that, like, the intelligence community.
Here's what my stance has been this whole time. I am not a fan of Trump. I also don't think he's a James Bond supervillain.
Exactly.
You know, it would take absolute crazy to basically commit high treason to earn millions of more dollars. I mean, basically, I think you could still be hanged for it. You know, it's like... I don't know. That's a weird decision for a person to make in any situation to commit that level of treason.
You know, I don't think he expected to win or be scrutinized.
Yeah, I don't think he did either. But
yeah, I don't know. I think I'd be willing to guess that he's done a lot of shady stuff. But like,
well, he's a businessman. You know.
Well, he was a millionaire at the age of 3. You know, he's lived his entire life sheltered from consequences. So I imagine he does a lot of crimes a lot of times,
right?
Without like realizing they're illegal.
Well, I got more
which
questions.
Which I doubt is like purely even a Trump thing.
I got more questions that I want to talk to you about on this one. Maybe we'll hit this again in the extra segments.
Yeah.
But right now we're coming up on break because we're about to have our guest on, Benjamin Radford, to talk about his book, Bad Clowns. It's going to help us understand what's up with bad clowns. And if you wonder what that means, well, then stick around and find out. But I'm sure you've seen it. You've seen all the crazies. You've seen the John Wayne Gacy. You know what's going on. All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
You can't believe it. I'm the truth of it. This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane of Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, Benjamin Radford, the author of a book called Bad Clowns, which I have to say struck our interest as soon as we saw the title, and I bet you that is the case with a lot of other people. Benjamin, do we have you there with us?
I am here, ready to talk evil clowns.
All right. Do you prefer Ben or Benjamin?
Ben's fine. Either one.
All right. So, I don't even have to ask why you chose to write about this topic. Normally I say that, but as soon as I saw that the topic was written about, I'm all, oh, yeah, that was a good idea. You know, because we really do live in this world that has slowly been
clownified.
Yeah, anti-clownified. You know, it's funny that every time something shady comes out about clowns, the like World Clown Federation like gets together and talks about how it's destroying their careers. And, well, they do. They put out a statement in the newspaper or whatever. But I got to say, where did you start with this? You know, there's a lot of places to enter this topic. Where did you enter?
No, that you bring up an excellent question, especially something with something as broad as sort of evil or scary or bad clowns. That was one of the challenges of writing the book and doing the research was, where the hell do I start?
Different generations.
Everywhere. And so
different generations are going to think of different clowns.
In a couple of ways. One was chronologically. So I talk about, for example, the history of evil clowns and bad clowns. But specifically the bad ones, because, you know, I was intentionally not covering all clowns. I mean, there's been lots of books and you know, films, documentaries. I mean, there's lots about clowns, but there's very relatively little about sort of the darker side of clowns. And so that was really what I wanted to focus on. So I go back and you can look at the early clowns, for example, in ancient Greece, in the Harlequin, and the evil clowns discussed by, for example, Charles Dickens in one of his novels. And then sort of, so I go chronologically, but then trying to break them down into where do you find these evil clowns, right? And so in some cases, you find them in sensational headlines. For example, you have John Wayne Gacy, of course, the famous killer clown. And then you find them in movies, for example, with Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Pennywise and It, of course, and things like that. And so I tried to sort of break it down into where you find the clowns, again, sort of movies, literature. And then I sort of took a little bit of an odd turn toward the last part of the book, where I included, for example, porn clowns. There's actually a category of sex clowns, because, of course, there is.
Right. Well, balloon animals,
and
that makes
I looked
sense.
I looked at troll clowns, sort of the internet troll clowns, and then also what are called dip clowns, which are if you've been on a carnival midway, they're the people that, you know, sit there in the dunk tanks, like, hey there, Freddy, high and dry, high and dry.
Right, right.
And often they're clowns, and so their goal is to insult people and get you angry enough to, you know, put down $5 to buy some ball to hit him in the dunk tank. So that was one of the fascinating parts, where there were so many angles into it. You know, there's Bozo the Clown, Krusty the Clown, all these different ones. And so that's sort of the angle that I took.
You know, so how far back does – so when I was doing a little bit of research for this, you know, the furthest back I could see of really anything – sort of horrific and clowny at the same time was probably Pagliacci or something like that. How far back are we looking at really a tale of the shady clown?
Well, if you're looking at sort of the sketchy clowns, and actually I should clarify that for a minute, because I was trying to figure out, you know, how do I title the book? Because you know, the book is titled Bad Clowns, but it's not people who, you know, are just bad at their job.
Right.
It's all people that are bad at their job. So I had to sort of delineate, okay, what exactly am I talking about? And so it was clowns that are evil or malevolent or not nice in some way. And in some cases, of course, it's fictional, of course, so they're not professional clowns. So, for example, John Wayne Gacy was not a professional clown. You know, the Joker in the DC Comics villain is not a professional clown. So I had to carefully sort of delineate that out. So if you're looking at where did the sort of scary or evil bad clown emerge, you're exactly right. Right around Pagliacci, you can look at the Harlequin figure, which makes his first appearance in 1585. In fact, in poems published in French, and of course the Harlequin is much better known these days, and the Suicide Squad and the more sexy Harlequin. But
yeah, I have
original,
to admit. So I got to tell you,
seventeen years ago,
I had a daughter. 18 years ago in about a week, a couple days here. And at the time, Harlequin was this funny cartoon character, nothing else. And so I actually named my daughter Harley Quinn. And so now here I am with a 17-year-old daughter with this, like, super sexified character that's, like, all over, and I have a daughter named Harley Quinn, you know. So I actually
that's
named my daughter.
That's fascinating.
So,
I like that story.
So basically, the
stereotypically scary clown really emerged again with Harlequin, and then, as I mentioned, Dickens wrote about sort of an alcoholic clown. So you have the sort of dual sides. But it's important to keep in mind that the clown figure has always had this darker side to it, and so. So you can go back to the ancient Greece, for example. There would be European clowns that would sit in town squares and pelt people with nuts or fruits and sort of make fun of their names and say things that are silly.
It's like a game.
And in fact, clown, the word itself, it's of German origin. It's related to the Dutch or German word for boer, as in B-O-E-R, in South Africa, for example. So it's a, which is a, they're a farmer. They're people of the earth. They're everyday, hardworking people like that. So clown meant somebody who was sort of rustic or ill-mannered or sort of rough around the edges. And so that was always part of the character anyway. And so it wasn't really until the 1980s when you saw the scary clown sort of, you know, pop into the cultural consciousness with you know, Stephen King's It and Pennywise and things like that. But the clown figure has always been ambiguous. It's always had this darker side to it, and that's what Stephen King played against. Was this American notion that, oh, clowns are happy, they're good, they're, you know, they make you laugh, they do balloon animals. Well, that's one version of the clown, but if you look at European clowns and really the history of clowns, clowns have never, they were never really good. They were just, sometimes they were good, sometimes they were bad, sometimes they were making you laugh, sometimes they were scaring the hell out of you. So there's always been that darker side to it.
So originally they were maybe a little more like tricksters and stuff like that. There was definitely a bully aspect to them.
Yeah, I mean the clown figure. If you look at the clown from a folkloric and mythological perspective, I mean exactly as you said, they're trickster figures, and so they're sort of a man without a master. They're given social license to say rude things, to be mean, to make fun of people. And you see this, for example, with the court jesters in Europe, where in many cases the court jester, the clown, was the only person that could actually make fun of the king, because everybody else would be killed or strung up or drawn and quartered. But because of the specific role that the court jester and the clowns in general have in terms of, again, in society, sort of, we give them more latitude. They're allowed to be scary. They're allowed to be offensive. They're allowed to be this or that. And that actually ties in, as I mentioned earlier, with the dip clowns, the carnival clowns, where their job is to insult people and earn their pay that way.
Yeah, that's it's interesting that our society has sort of, you know, even outside the scary aspect of this, that our society has sort of chosen a character to be considered beloved, but also be considered, you know, the funny jerk.
Yeah. Well, and that's probably that what you just described is probably the clearest if you look at, for example, Mr. Punch, who particularly for British people, they'll know exactly what we're talking about.
Like Punch and Judy.
The Punch and Judy shows.
Yeah.
And he's the sort of the hook-nosed, red-capped. That's where we get the word slapstick, is because he would carry on this bat and it was called a slapstick, and he would kill people. In fact, so you had these performances that were put on all around England. The first one was in 1662, of these two puppets Mr. Punch was an evil clown, and he killed his baby. He threw his baby out the window, and he would beat up his wife, Judy. And he was just this terrifying, cruel, horrific character, but people loved him.
It was like reality television
with
of the time.
And adults.
Yeah. It was like reality television of the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, you know, they were going to public hangings with a picnic or something like that.
Oh yeah, go get your popcorn, kids. We're going to go see a couple criminals hanged.
Right. Yeah. It's always so, you know, I'm a horror movie fanatic, so clowns have definitely been something that I've loved for a long time because of all the horror movie stuff. But as I've gone on through horror films, I have definitely seen a change in views of people from clowns, of it sort of being, oh, yeah, they're kind of creepy, too. Yeah, they're definitely crazy. So we're about to go to break, but when we come back, I'd like to ask you a little bit about, you know, that transition and probably the hidden face and the stranger danger of the 80s and how that transition happened. You're listening to Benjamin Radford here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Probably come to die in this town. combinations were just meant to go together. Chips and salsa. Refrigerator and freezer. The internet and cat videos. At State Farm, there's another combination meant to go together. Home and auto. As in combining your home and auto insurance with one agent. Which leads to another combination, saving dollars and cents. Your State Farm agent is here to help life go right. Combine home and auto and see how much you can save.
Contact Jeff Avery at 243-4600. License number 0D09479.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
They're the definition of Motown soul, and they're coming to Reading. The Temptations, Tuesday, January 18th at the Cascade Theater. Known for their rich harmonies and 30 top 10 hits, The Temptations will electrify you. The Temptations, January 18th at the Cascade. Get tickets today at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
We've just received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Olza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Capopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best-tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We are talking to Benjamin Radford about his book, Bad Clowns. Ben, so, you know, before we went to break, I was saying that there seemed to be a transition, at least in American culture, where clowns became much more nefarious in the views of the regular person. And I'm wondering if in your book you stumbled across maybe why that happened. My thoughts were maybe, you know, stranger danger. Kara here was thinking that Stephen King's It is really what pushed it over. You know, what do you think?
I think you're all right. there's a couple different things that happened.
Very diplomatic.
Thank you. I just pulled that one out of my butt. No, but no, it's interesting because and that was one of the really when I was writing the book at first, I was like, well, what am I going to write about? It's like there's just these clowns, but then really when I began peeling back the layers and tracing back, how the influences go, that's where the book really got interesting to me, was sort of tracing back. Oh, this is where this happened. So, for example, the Joker, the DC Comics villain. I mean, the Joker was introduced in 1940.
Right.
It's not like the American public had never heard of evil clowns, and of course he was portrayed, by Cesar Romero, in the of course that Joker wasn't terribly scary.
Right.
In the Batman series, but really, there's always there, but it wasn't really, it didn't really explode again until as you mentioned the 1980s. So there's a couple of things. One thing that happened was Stephen King's It, as you mentioned, but it wasn't so much the book. The book itself was scary and it was a bestseller and all that, but it wasn't really until 1990 when it was a TV movie. It was a two-part TV movie, and I think we're all about the same age, so we probably remember what that was.
Oh, I definitely saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was really what made the difference. And so, keep in mind that there's the recent remake of It, and part one came out last year, and part two is supposed to come out later this year. But part of the reason that Pennywise and It became such a hugely popular character was because it wasn't, for example, a PG or R-rated film in the theaters you had to go pay money to see. It was on national television. It was being broadcast into people's homes across the country. And you had Tim Curry with this manic, terrifying thing. And that became sort of a touchstone, like, oh, my God, do you remember seeing that? So, had that film instead been put in theaters, it's likely that Pennywise wouldn't be nearly as popular because it just wouldn't have been seen by that many people. And then you had Killer Clowns from Outer Space come out in 1988, and then you had another version. You had Shakes the Clown from Bobcat Goldthwait,
right.
known as the Citizen Kane of alcoholic clown movies, and it remains so to this day, of course, in 1991.
Right. Yeah.
So that's really partly what happened, but you're exactly right. Is that there is a cultural stranger danger aspect to it, and it's not a coincidence that the 1980s was a time when it was a culturally ripe time for these sorts of evil clowns to come into the fore. This, you can keep in mind, this was during a time when there was the Satanic Panic, and you had people like Geraldo Rivera doing their shows and talking about how there's Satanists behind every door. You had congressional hearings talking about whether heavy metal, Twisted Sister, and Iron Maiden, and Judas Priest were leading innocent children to devil worship, there was a very real concern in America at the time, and not just in the 80s, stretching into the 90s as well, where this notion that this sort of hidden threat of conspiracy theorists or conspiracy people and Satanists and clowns and masked people near kids. It was, America was ready to embrace that and be terrified by it.
Yeah, and there was also quite a few I came across. My wife is obsessed with the ID channel and murders. There's one where a woman disguised herself and dressed as a clown and came to her victim's door and shot her, and they weren't able to find her for quite some time. And then there's also...
Yes, in Florida, that's right.
Yeah, then there's also quite a few... and I'm not sure how to PC get this out there, but there was quite a few child involved in a bad way clowns.
Yes, there were, although in most of those cases, those turned out to be a case of basically false accusations. And we know that because a lot of the stories just turned out just not to be true. There were, in fact, several high-profile cases. There was the Fells Acres case. There was the Amaral case, where daycare workers were falsely accused of messing with kids and doing things like that. And it turns out that they were actually, basically led on by psychologists and police detectives who weren't trained in how to interview children. So you have, for example, and I talk about this a little bit in the book, where you had a 7-year-old kid who's saying, a clown touched me, and we went out onto a boat, and they fed a friend of mine to sharks. Well, you live in Oklahoma. That didn't happen. There's no missing kids. So we know in many of the cases that some of the claims about the abuse, especially those involving clowns, were not true.
So this would be like society's sort of panic towards these sorts of things and leading into it, sort of like the satanic panic where we're just all, yeah, this is a possibility because everybody knows clowns are crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's when you get into the really bizarre part about the phantom clowns. There were clowns that were basically being seen again right around the same time in the early 1980s. There were reports in Massachusetts and elsewhere in the East Coast where there were kids, mostly kids, who were saying that there were gangs of clowns driving around in vans, usually white vans, looking to abduct kids. And as you can imagine, this terrified parents and police, and people were freaking out, and they had police all over the place, and they're called phantom clowns because they were never found. There was never any evidence that they were there. The police went looking, they never found anybody. In some cases, the kids were clearly making up stories. There's one case I remember where a kid said that he was walking to school and he encountered, see, there's a Freudian slip. He encountered a clown that had an Uzi machine gun and a machete, because that's, what you do. And on the way to school, and the enterprising kid threw his book bag at the clown, and the machete Uzi holding clown was terrified by the kid and ran off. And as you can imagine, he later admitted that he made it up.
Right. And yeah, it's just weird that we have sort of like culturally gone into a panic over something where there really isn't a lot of solid evil going on in real life, I guess.
No, you're exactly right, and that's it's interesting how I think there's a way in which cultural and social anxiety sort of crystallized into clown scares, and I wrote about that there was actually a clown panic in 2016. We can either talk about it now or after the break, but there was for about 3-4 weeks. You probably remember it, right around Halloween, there were stalker clowns being reported. There were schools on lockdown because of belief that clowns were going to shoot up a school and stuff. So it was a strange time to be a clown expert.
Well, for one, I love the fact that you call yourself a clown expert. That is, without a doubt, the best part of your business card, I am absolutely sure.
Bad clown expert. There you go. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were laughing because I write books about weird things. I've done a book on ghosts and a book on lake monsters and chupacabras and stuff, and all from a sort of science-based folkloric perspective. And I was laughing the other day that in my obituary, it's going to mention chupacabras and evil clowns, but there you go.
Right. Well, there's worse things to be remembered for. All right, well, we're coming up on our next break, and when we come back, I do want to ask you a little bit about this clown scare of 2016. I got a couple questions about it. You're listening to Benjamin Radford here on Radio Wasteland talking about his new book, Bad Clowns. Come on back.
Give me a sign that you'll be mine. Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it forever furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Well, I was standing on a corner with my hands in my pockets, and I was waiting for a call.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Benjamin Radford. We're talking about his book, Bad Clowns. So before we went to break, we were talking a little about the 2016 clown scare. And, of course, we saw this all over the news of creepy clowns standing on street corners. Was it, where was it, Portland, something like that?
I thought
that?
It was South Carolina. Well, a bunch of places, I think.
But, you know, they never gave us much meat to that story. You know, did we ever find anything out about what was going on with these people and why they were doing it?
We did. It wasn't really well publicized. It was one of those things where, you know, the initial reports, of course, make headline news. There was, in fact, it was even addressed by the White House during a press conference at one point. What are you going to do about these scary clowns, right?
Right.
And so it was a case where, you know, as often happens with these stories, it sort of peters out. To take you back a couple of years to where the whole thing actually started. So the whole sort of stalking clowns phenomena really began in Northampton, England, 2013. And that's when there was a guy that went around the town of Northampton who was dressing up as a clown, and he was having a photo taken. In fact, he set up a Facebook page called Spot the Northampton Clown. And it was just this guy, and he was anonymous, of course. He was in clown makeup. And he didn't attack anybody, he didn't threaten anybody. He understood the psychology of why clowns are scary, and he would walk around silently, carrying balloons, just waving at people at night. And, of course, people freaked out.
Right.
They later tracked down who it was. It was actually a it was actually a guy who was a local filmmaker named Alex Powell, and he was sort of put up as a publicity stunt. But it was the perfect mix of evil clown, social media going viral type thing, and then there were copycats. So again, that happened in 2013, and then the next few years there were other ones. There was one in Staten Island. In 2014, what there was it was called the SI Clown. In fact, even Stephen King was asked about it. He says, "Is this Pennywise coming to life?" And he says, "No, but I want royalties."
Right.
So that happened in 2014, and there were other ones in California towns actually, and some also in France. And so the idea of evil clowns going viral in real life. Again, this wasn't a movie, this wasn't a TV show, this wasn't American Horror Story, this is real life, or some approximation thereof. And then what happens is that there's copycats of copycats. What happened, the first real sighting of the clowns happened in Greenville, South Carolina, in August. And there were reports of clowns that supposedly lived in some woods. It's sort of a Hansel and Gretel type thing, behind an apartment building. And there was a report that clowns were trying to lure kids into the woods. Mm-hmm. Again, this is all very Hansel and Gretel fairy tale-y.
Kind of Slender Man-y.
Nobody was actually harmed.
Yeah.
So that was where it really began, was in South Carolina. And again, of course, this made huge news because people were actually freaking out because they said, there's creepy clowns living in the woods trying to lure children. And in fact, one guy even fired a gun into the woods. Thankfully, no one was hurt. But that set the stage. And so you had copycats. You had other people who were making threats in clown costume on social media. And you had schools being locked down. There were several in Alabama that were there would be a viral video from, someone saying, "Hey, I'm going to come shoot up the place." And, these days with real-life school shootings, you had police and the principals who they had to be better safe than sorry. Right? Even though they think it's a hoax, think it's ridiculous, still, what if it's not, right? So they take it seriously, and then that sort of gets legitimized by the news media and parents who are saying, "Well, I thought this was silly and stupid, but they're shutting down the school. This must be real." And so it sort of reinforces the fear.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's funny how cyclical it can be, how this sort of fear feeds into it, and then the powers that be take it a little too seriously. I like the parallel you're making with the satanic panic, because it makes a lot of sense, because, I don't think there's ever actually been a satanic killing. I think we're probably more in danger from clowns than we are from satanic worshipers, because there actually have been some clown killings, So I can't, get to the end of this without asking the question. I'm a big music fan. Depending on your angle, where you come from, how much can we thank or blame the Juggalos for this?
Another good question. Well, I do have a section on evil clowns, bad clowns in my book, including in music, including in Wall of Voodoo, the 80s band.
Love that band.
Juggalos and the Insane Clown Posse are, of course, the main ones. And I mentioned in the book that they were actually, and you probably know this, but the FBI actually referred to Juggalos as a criminal gang.
Yeah.
And there was a lawsuit with the ACLU, and that all ended up getting dismissed. But it was interesting. I actually hadn't been to an ICP concert, and they actually came to Albuquerque in my hometown after my book came out, and said, "Oh, well, let me go check it out. It's not really my kind of music, but I'll check it out." So I went there, and I stood out like a sore thumb.
Right.
And so it's a funny quick story. So I went to the thing. I'm just there. I'm just looking around. I'm dodging, bottles of Faygo going over the place. I'm a 6 foot tall bald dude with a tattoo, but I'm not like, I didn't fit in.
Right.
And so about
you don't
a week
look like
later,
Captain Spaulding.
other than that. About a week later, I get an email from a guy, just out of the blue. He says, did you go to the ICP concert last week? And I said, yeah. He says, are you the guy that wrote the book on clowns? And I said, yeah, how did you know? So I was mentioned in the local paper, and he'd seen me. And he's like, that was the dude. So he was telling his wife, he was like, I was about to come kick your ass, because I thought that, he said, you stood out. I thought you were a cop. And he said, I thought you were looking at my wife, but I didn't want to start anything. But we're now good friends. It was fun.
That's funny. Well, man, there's something to be said for this guy who was willing to go try to beat up a cop at an ICP show, you know?
Exactly.
That's some wild business right there. All right, well, we're coming up on the end of the interview here, Ben. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about where they can find out more about you and where they can get their hands on your book?
Sure. I've written actually 10 books. Bad Clowns is one of my most recent ones. Actually won a book award for those who are interested. You can find me on Facebook, BenjaminRadford.com. Social media, I do blogs and things like that. I'm round and about, and I'm always happy to talk to people about anything ranging from urban legends to scary clowns.
And what do you got coming up next?
Actually, I'm in the process of trying to finish my next book. I've been working on it for quite a while now. It's on sort of the culture of fear in America. It's sort of like the politicization of fears and how not just the government but various people use and manipulate people, mostly Americans, using fear and the consequences of that, and hopefully how to avoid that.
Well, that seems like a logical step out of Bad Clowns and a lot of these cryptid things, because they are heavily connected. Well, we've really enjoyed having you on the show. It sounds like you are ready to speak on a bunch of other topics, so we would love to have you on again sometime. You have been listening to Benjamin Radford here on Radio Wasteland. Thank you for checking us out.
Till I made my big mistake. Oh no, it never happened to me. Life was short and life was sweet. I was thinking as I hit the street. I could hardly believe, I could scarce conceive that I called out the window. I had gone out the window. I had gone out the window. Oh, she was fine, she looked great. So we made our big mistake. I swear, that never happened to her. The pavement knocked her head around.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.